Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve you, Lord, to be a vessel for you. I pray that you would use me tonight, that you would speak through me tonight, Holy Spirit. I rely upon you. You are the teacher tonight. And Lord, we just pray, Holy Father, that your kingdom would come and your will would be accomplished, Lord, and that we would receive, Lord, from your word tonight what we need, that it would nourish and strengthen, build us up, prepare us for every good work, Lord. Lord, we're not just going to receive facts and learn some more information, but God, that we're going to learn how to live and to apply and to work out our salvation, Father. We thank you that you are with us and you will help. If we acknowledge you in all of our ways, you promised you would direct our path. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to get to the end of this study. We had a few week, what is an interruption? It was just like a little detour. But it was good. You know, I had some other folks that came in and shared a good word with us. And we'll have some more of that as time goes on. But we're going to do a quick review of Revelation chapter 22. And I wanted to look at verse 7 in particular. And in this study tonight, we're going to take a look from actually verse 6 through the end, through 21 of chapter 22. But verse 7 says, the Lord said, behold, I am what? Coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And the word quickly also means suddenly or by surprise. Suddenly or by surprise. And Jesus said in Luke 21:25 that there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. And people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I believe that we are seeing the beginnings of these things right now. There are many strange things happening around the planet, especially when it comes to the ocean currents, the waves, the storms, the weather conditions. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus gave this warning. He said, watch out, don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. So we as the disciples of the Lord are called to watch and to pray at all times, and thus separating ourselves from this ungodly world, which is doomed to experience the wrath of God. And you know that God has not appointed his church to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, in verse 7, he says, I am coming quickly. And so the climax or the high point of it all will be the glorious return of our Savior. And once these things begin to happen, the things that Jesus was referring to here, the events will fall into place rapidly. These end time events will take place in rapid succession once they begin. And Jesus likened it to a woman who was in travail with child. And so we see this also in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, where Jesus goes into the specifics about this. And then there's a blessing that's pronounced to each one who keeps the words of this prophecy. So we keep the words of this prophecy. How do we keep the words of this prophecy? Well, we keep the word by obeying the word, right? We obey the instructions of the Lord that are contained in this book and by living in the hope of his calling. So if we are believing, if we are in faith, then we're looking for the return of the Lord. And he was telling us to be watchful because he's coming suddenly or unexpectedly. And so keeping the word of God means that I cherish it. I hold it into my heart. Amen. So that I don't sin against God, but that I also apply it in my life. The Lord gave us instructions. He's given us warnings in the book of Revelation, you know, and if we will heed the word of God, we'll be wise. And now I want us to look at verse 8, Revelation 22, verse 8. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. So what did he do? He fell down at the feet of this angel. But what did the angel do? He forbid him, right? To do so. And why? Because the angels are created beings like you and I. And God alone should be worshipped. And in verse 10, he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So in other words, he was to release this word right away. It wasn't something that he was supposed to hold on to for a later time. He said, I don't want you to seal up the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. And to seal here means to postpone disclosure. So God wanted him to share what he had seen and heard with others right away. And how many know that God wants us to likewise, as his people, share the truth of the gospel? Amen. With others as well. And in verse 11, it says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So when the fulfillment or the time of the fulfillment of things come, how people are at that time is how they're going to be for eternity. And that should be sobering. It should cause people to reflect on the issues of their soul and make sure that their hearts are right with God, that they have truly repented and made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the unjust are those who do wrong, and they're going to be forever fixed in that state. The filthy, the morally impure or dirty, when will have no further chance to change when the Lord returns to earth. The righteous, the innocent, will continue to live righteously. And the holy, morally blameless or pure, will continue to live in holiness. Now, I'm just going by what the text says here. You know, we may have questions about, well, what about other people that are on the earth at that time? All I know is that God is very clear about this, that there's coming a time, there's coming a day when things will be, time will be up. And who that person is at that time is who they're going to be for eternity. And that's why we should pay attention to our souls, and we should be in preparation, amen, even now, because we know that who we are now, if we were to die, is who we're going to be. Revelation 22:11 in the Amplified says, he who is unjust, unjust, wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy or vile and pure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, in right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Now, Guzik said this, the thought here is probably, since Jesus is coming so suddenly, there won't be time for change. There will be no time for last minute repentance. But there is time now. And that's what we need to remember. Today is the day of salvation. God is being gracious, isn't he? He is merciful. He's long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. So he's given people an opportunity right now to repent. And there's no indication here about a second chance. Now let's take a look at verse 12. And behold, he said, I am what? Here it is again. I am coming quickly. Same word, suddenly or unexpectedly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So again, the Lord announces that he's coming quickly. And this time with the promise of the reward to everyone according to his work. This time. Well, what? To reward everyone according to his work. Now, Jesus, again, identifies himself as what? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so he is the same Lord, right, from the beginning who created all things. Verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, we know that the New Testament is very clear that salvation is not by works. It's by grace. Amen. But what he's saying here is rather works are the fruit and proof of salvation. Amen. If a person claims to have salvation, but they have no works, that they're lying, right? Because Jesus said a tree will be known by its fruit. All right. So only true believers are going to have access to the tree of life and to the eternal city of God, that which is, of course, the New Jerusalem that we had previously talked about. Now, verse 15 says, but outside are what? Dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So those who are forever excluded from heaven will be what? Dogs. Sorcerers also means witches. The sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and liars. Now, dogs, let's take a look at this, may refer to, in the Old Testament, male prostitutes were referred to as dogs. Deuteronomy 23:18, you shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering. For both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. Also could be referring to, and may refer to all three actually, unclean Gentiles. Remember in Matthew 15:26, when Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs or the little dogs, right? And so unclean or unredeemed Gentiles, right? Or Judaizers. He said in Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Those who are insisting that, you know, they must practice the law in order to be justified. And they must undergo physical circumcision, for example. Yes, they were teaching grace, but also law. They were mixing it together. You're either going to live under law or under grace. If you're living under grace, then God takes the law and he writes it in your heart. Amen. And you obey the law of the Spirit that's written in your heart. Amen. So we still have a responsibility to God, but not according to an external law, because that law couldn't save anybody. That external law was simply to show us our own sinfulness, as you know, and so that we will turn to the only one who could forgive us of that sin and make us right with the Father again, and that by his own blood. So let's take a look at verse 16, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. What is he saying? He's saying that Jesus is both God and man. So the Lord speaks of himself as the root and the offspring of David. How can he be both? As to his deity, well, he is David's creator. He was the root, right? And as to his humanity, he is David's descendant, son of David. All right. So he is what? God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, as the bright and morning star appears in the sky before the sun rises, so Christ will first come to the church as the bright and morning star, that is, at the rapture. Later, he will return as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. We see that in Malachi 4:2, and I'll just read it for you. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. He's talking about the millennial reign. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride. Amen. The Holy Spirit, and who's the Bride? We are the church. Amen. Say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. What a privilege. What God has done for us. His love for us. His mercy for us. That not only did he pay the price that we deserve to pay, but he's lavished his grace upon us. And he's given us an invitation to come and drink freely of his life. And to delight ourselves in him. Hallelujah. To have a relationship with him. To be restored to relationship with our Father. And so in verse 18, he says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. That's pretty serious. From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So what is he saying here? God is condemning tampering with his word. Serious business. And a similar judgment is pronounced on anyone who takes away from the words of this prophecy. So this does not apply to minor differences of interpretation. Let's get that straight, okay? But to deliberate tampering with God's word. There's times when we are ignorant to things. We all have blind spots. We're all learning. Sometimes we'll miss it. And sometimes we may have a little variances of differences of interpretation of Scripture. He's not speaking of that. Amen. Some people are so dogmatic that they think if everybody doesn't see it exactly the way they are, then they're in error. They're a heretic. You know, he's talking about people who are very deliberately twisting the Scriptures and often using them deceitfully to deceive others. Or they're withholding the truth from people because it's not popular for people and they don't want to hear it. And we're not doing anybody a favor if we're not speaking the truth in love. Amen. We got to tell people the truth. How else are they going to know? How else can I know unless somebody was willing to speak straight into my life and tell me, you know, that I needed to repent? And I thank God for the people that have spoken into my life, you know, throughout my journey here, that were willing to speak the truth to me. Amen. But I knew they did it because they cared. They loved. They weren't just, you know, trying to level the playing field, but because they cared about my soul. They spoke into my life. Amen. And so, anyways, this is the gospel call. You know, the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. And everyone, you know, that is willing can come to the Lord. He's not going to reject those who turn to him. And so we come to the fountain of living waters for salvation. And but look at this. For those who deceitfully handle the Scriptures, God shall take away their part from the tree of life. In other words, they will never share in the blessings of eternal life. In verse 20, it says, He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Wow. We're nearer today than we were. Every day closer. And so the book of Revelation, it closes with a promise. That's the way God does it. Amen. And a blessing. The promise is that the Lord Jesus is coming quickly, suddenly without warning, and that he's going to what? He's going to return to gather us to himself, which is what? Our blessed hope. When he comes, he's going to receive his people. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 gives us this promise. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be, what? Or always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. God is coming. He's coming for his people. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us, it teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. For what reason? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we should be about good works. Amen. In Christ, right? Now, he said in verse 15, speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. So those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb should say, amen, even so, what? Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And he finishes in verse 21 with this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so this book is really the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of him. Amen. If in all of our study we miss Jesus, then it was all in vain. Amen. The Scriptures were given to us so that we may know him, that we may know the Lord personally, that we may have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. And by the Holy Spirit, we're able to have a revelation of who he is. We can know who God really is through the Word and the Spirit. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that, Lord, you have given us your precious word. And Lord, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now. and that, Lord, you will reveal the truth to us and lead us into all truth. Lord, you will even remind us of all the things that you have spoken before, and by your Spirit, Lord, you'll show us things to come. And so, Lord, we pray that you would seal our hearts for your courts above, Lord, that you will watch over and protect us, guard us, and keep us close to your heart. Father, we pray that you would reveal to us your perfect, pleasing, and acceptable will. And we pray, Lord God, you'll give us the grace that your will become our desire as it burns within us, Lord, with a longing, Lord, to live and to honor your name. Lord, that we will be a careful people to always, in every situation, to give you thanks, Lord, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you're really with us and you're really for us, Lord. And God, we pray that you would open the opportunity for us to share what we receive from you with others, Lord, that we may lead people to you, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May your kingdom come, Holy Father, and may your will be done in our lives and in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen.